Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica are about early dog DNA that pushes back the date of dog domestication, a new historical analysis indicating that King Harold of England moved his troops by ship instead of forced march before the Battle of Hastings, new evidence of pre-farming sedentism in southeastern Turkey, and ancient Maya structures now recognized as probable marketplaces. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in September 2026 with our tour of Scotland's most important megalithic sites, including those in the Orkney Islands and the Outer Hebrides. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 22nd through the 28th, 2026. We begin with new genetic evidence that pushes back the timeline of dog domestication by thousands of years. As reported by ConnectSci, dogs are recognized as the very first animals domesticated by humans, yet the precise timing and location of this transformative process have been subjects of intense scientific debate for decades. Domestic dogs, known scientifically as Canis lupus familiaris, are a subspecies of the gray wolf. While traditional archaeological evidence suggested that domestication began more than 15,000 years ago, with some speculative estimates reaching as far back as 30,000 years, the oldest physical remains clearly identified as domestic dogs date to about 14,000 years ago. Until very recently, the oldest confirmed genetic evidence was only about 10,900 years old. Two new disciplinary studies, however, provide groundbreaking genetic data from early dog remains that shift this timeline significantly. The findings indicate that distinct early dog populations were already established across Western Eurasia at least 14,200 years ago. Critically, these ancient populations share direct ancestry with later dog breeds, suggesting that significant genetic diversification had already occurred before this time. One key sample analyzed in the study comes from Kesslerloch Cave in Switzerland. A dog dated to approximately 14,200 years ago shows strong genetic links to later dog populations across Europe and beyond. This evidence is a major challenge to previous proposals suggesting that early European dogs developed in complete isolation. Another set of remains from Pınarbaşı in Turkey, dated to 15,800 years ago, and Goff's Cave in the United Kingdom, dated to 14,300 years ago, show remarkable genetic similarity despite being separated by more than 3,000 kilometers. Published in the journal Nature, this research suggests that a widespread dog population expanded across Eurasia between 18,500 and 14,000 years ago. The appearance of these remains in various hunter-gatherer contexts indicates that dogs likely spread alongside migrating human groups, confirming that the bond between humans and dogs began much earlier than previously confirmed by DNA. Our second story this week looks at new research that challenges a long-standing account of the pivotal events leading up to the Battle of Hastings in AD 1066. Traditionally, historians have described King Harold of England leading his army on a grueling 250-mile forced march from Stamford Bridge in the north, where he had just defeated a Viking invasion, all the way south to the Sussex coast in less than 3 weeks. This narrative has long suggested that Harald's troops were exhausted and depleted by the time they faced the Norman army on October 14th, contributing to their eventual defeat. However, as reported by Viz.org, new research into Latin and Old English sources, including the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, suggests that this legendary march may be a myth. This new analysis is the work of Tom Lysence, author of the new biography, Harald, Warrior King. A central issue involves historical assumptions about Harald's fleet. Many earlier scholars believed the king had disbanded his naval forces before the northern campaign began. This assumption supported the idea that he had no choice but to travel entirely by land. The Chronicle, however, indicates that the fleet actually returned to London, rather than separating to individual ports, suggesting Harald maintained strategic control of his ships. Further evidence places a fleet on the River Wharfe near York during the campaign against the Viking forces led by Harald Hardrada. This implies that after his victory in the north, Harald likely used these ships to transport his troops efficiently along the coast and through river systems. If this interpretation is correct, it fundamentally changes our view of Harald's military strategy. Instead of a desperate, rushed land campaign that weakened his army, it points to a highly coordinated use of sea and land power to defend England. This would have allowed his soldiers to travel efficiently and recover before facing the Norman army led by William of Normandy. It suggests that Harald's leadership was more strategic and logistically sound than previously realized, focusing on a more coordinated defense of the realm. Now we visit southeastern Turkey, where archaeologists led by Ergul Kodaş of Mardin Artuklu University have identified a prehistoric settlement that is reshaping our understanding of how humans first transitioned into permanent communities. As reported by Heritage Daily, researchers have been excavating the site of Şikarika 5 in the Tur Abdin region of Mardin province. This settlement dates back between 10,000 and 12,000 years, a critical period during a time when hunter-gatherer groups first began to settle in one place. What makes Şikarika 5 particularly significant is that it was not an isolated outpost. Since 2022, researchers have identified a dense network of at least 20 similar settlements across the surrounding hills. The site itself sits on an artificial mound, or tell, formed by repeated occupation over centuries. The presence of circular stone structures suggests long-term, year-round use rather than the short-term seasonal visits typical of early nomadic groups. The material remains found at the site offer a fascinating glimpse into daily life. Flint tools are the most common discovery, but archaeologists also found obsidian, which is not native to the area. Because obsidian comes from distant sources, its presence indicates that these early settlers were part of sophisticated exchange networks between communities. They also discovered thousands of lunates, small, crescent-shaped stone tools used in composite weapons or as cutting instruments. Perhaps most importantly, the discovery of grinding stones and pestles shows that these people were processing wild cereals and other plant foods. When combined with the high volume of animal bones found, this evidence depicts a mixed way of life that combined hunting and gathering with early plant management. These findings, published in the journal Antiquity, provide strong evidence that people began to live in sedentary communities well before they fully developed farming. This suggests that the shift to sedentary life was a gradual evolution driven by local resources, rather than a sudden revolution sparked by agriculture. Our final story examines ancient Maya structures that may have functioned as specialized marketplaces. As reported by Heritage Daily, archaeologists have identified dozens of unique layouts, known as nested constructions, across parts of the Yucatan lowlands. These structures comprise low, narrow mounds arranged in circles or rectangles, creating a blueprint that differs significantly from typical Maya residential or civic spaces. Researchers led by Ivan Šprijec of the Research Center of the Slovenian Academy of Sciences and Arts in Ljubljana, Slovenia, identified approximately 50 of these sites, primarily in the Campeche region of Mexico. Many were detected using LIDAR, a remote sensing technology that uses laser pulses to reveal archaeological features hidden beneath the dense forest canopy. Because these mounds are very low and often obscured by vegetation, they are incredibly difficult to spot from the ground. This fact suggests that many more sites may still remain undiscovered. The study proposes that these nested constructions were built to support large-scale market activity. The mounds likely served as the foundations for temporary stalls made of perishable materials like wood and thatch, while the open spaces between them functioned as walkways for a flow of traders and buyers. Several geographic features support this marketplace interpretation. Many of the sites are located near water sources, ancient causeways, or major settlement centers, all locations that would have facilitated the easy movement of people and goods. Most of these complexes date to the Classic period, between AD 250 and AD 900. While identifying commerce in the archaeological record is notoriously difficult, the repeated appearance of these specific layouts across a single region suggests they were not random. This pattern likely reflects established trade routes, environmental conditions, or economic specialization within the Maya world. The study, appearing in the journal Ancient Mesoamerica, adds to a growing body of evidence from sites like Tikal and Calakmul that the ancient Maya maintained highly organized and sophisticated economic systems. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura